Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today we're speaking with Sophie Raworth about running during the lockdown. Jane, how's it going? How's your running going?
Yeah, it's all good. I've not got too much to report, to be honest. Kind of finally got over this weird like foot injury I had from doing, I don't want to slate them because they are amazing. So anyone listening to this, don't think I'm slating these shoes. They're Alpha Flies, very controversial. I'm not an elite runner, and I think I've said on the podcast before that I did a virtual half marathon in them and kind of hurt my foot a bit because I'm not elite and I don't have the foot strength to wear them.
Well, you're back,
but I'm on the mend and I'm back and I'm running pain-free again. So that is an achievement.
Did the run itself go well though? Did you feel like they gave you a bit of a kind of an edge during the half?
Oh my God. Yeah. I think I took like 15 minutes off my PB. Yeah. It was wild.
That's wild. Wow. Fair play.
I was flying. If anyone saw me flying around Battersea Park thinking, what is that girl doing? That was it.
Well, I've been attempting to adopt some of the Ethiopian running philosophy. So a few weeks back we chatted with Michael Crawley about his book Out of Thin Air, which looks at Ethiopian running culture. And one of the things that they're big on is that they only do one run a week on concrete, and the rest is basically on track or on the grass. So and a lot of their runs are, they don't follow paths, or the paths in Ethiopia are kind of zigzaggy. So
right.
I've been spotted in Brockwell Park just zigzagging around the park, which I think probably looks quite strange to the observer. But actually, it throws in like an element of surprise and adventure to running. And I think, to be honest,
sure,
like I've run in that park, Jane, you know, hundreds of times, and you can begin to get a little bit bored of your route, can't you? But if you actually start going, actually, I'm just going to run any old way around here. It's kind of reinvigorated some of my training. I'm nowhere near as quick as any Ethiopian runners. That's the only bit that's missing so far. But
I like that you've waited for a really muddy time of year to take up this plan.
Yeah, you would. In some ways, would be much better in the kind of dry summer months. But yeah, I'm like in thick mud basically.
Yeah, you must be like doing a lot of washing.
Yeah. The people I'm sharing a house with are less keen on my sort of foraging into this style of running. But I think it's something that can go very easily, can't it? When you you know, particularly if you're training for a race, it can feel quite workmanlike, can't it? And you go out and you do, you know, it's 3 miles today and then it's 8 miles and it's probably on concrete. And actually this way is just a bit more, it's an aspect of like play that I think easily gets lost with when you get into training. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, I like it. I feel like when you watch kids run, don't they? They're just like going for it on grass.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So you're like, you're bringing that back in. I like it.
I'm sort of entering into sort of second childhood. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Who isn't?
Sorry, Jake, go on.
No, I can say who isn't? It's 2020. We've all lost our minds.
Yeah, find your joy where you can. We've got a very high profile guest this week, haven't we? We've got Sophie Raworth from the news is on.
I know, very very professional.
No, it's great to have her on. She's, I mean, as people will gather when we speak to her, she's super passionate about running, and Yeah, so I think it brings her a real sense of joy in what is quite a kind of high pressure life that, you know, that a newsreader has. Yeah,
I'm very the way she talks about run. I'm sure you'll all hear in a few minutes. The way she talks about running is beautiful, and it was quite emotional. I feel like I found the interview quite emotional. Talking about the pandemic, I think it's mad how quickly we've all adapted to this new world. And actually, when you stop and you think about those runs in lockdown that felt really scary, and I think the way Sophie talks about that is really lovely.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, let's get on our guest of the week.
Yes.
Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown.
Unless you've taken the unusual stance of not tuning into the news in 2020, in which case you're in for a bit of a shock, you'll be very familiar with Sophie Raworth. What you may not know is that the face of BBC News is also a passionate and impressive runner. And this year, she has navigated the personal and professional stresses of the pandemic and says running has been her saviour. So Sophie, welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
No, it's great to have you on. To start with, could you briefly explain your journey into running?
My journey into running started quite late in life. I was in my late 30s. I hadn't done much exercise from the age of about 20. And I'd had two children, and I was asked to do the Great North Run as a celebrity runner. And I just had my second child. I thought, I'll go and do that as a way of losing some weight. And I like a challenge. And I really enjoyed the training, actually. I was really surprised. I found it quite hard, and I did it in just over 2 hours. And I was triumphant when I got to the finish line, but thought, I'll never be able to do a full marathon.
Yeah.
I'd never be able to turn around and do that again. And then about four years later, after I had my third child, I decided to pluck up the courage and give it a go. And so I was 42, relatively late as a marathon runner. And and I became hooked, and I've done loads now. I've lost count, 15, 16, 17, I don't know, wow. Lots of marathons. And then I got dragged into ultra marathons, and it's become very much my way of life now. I love it.
I think we all, well, I loved, and I think everyone loved, your pictures of those deserted London streets and you're running the apocalyptic runs to work during full lockdown. What was that like, running during the depths of lockdown into central London?
It was quite extraordinary. So I was doing the news nonstop when everything really started shutting down, and I was doing double shifts. So I was doing the 6 o'clock and the 10 o'clock news, and it was very intense. And as everyone felt, everything seemed to be closing in on us all. And I just remember sitting in the studio night after night, and the death toll figures from France and Italy often would come through whilst I was doing the 6 o'clock news. And that sense of, and Spain as well, which was, you know, we were 2 weeks behind everybody else. And that sense of, oh my God, the sort of gasping when we were on air, I was sort of, you know, in between pieces, gasping as these new figures came in. It was, you know, 1,000 dead, and you couldn't believe that it was going to come here. And for me, running, I then started running because we were being told not to go on public transport, so I'd run into work, and the first few days or the first week of it, you know, there was a real sense you just should not be out. You should be literally locked up in your house, and you shouldn't be out on the streets. And I started running in with my BBC pass around my neck, because the only other people I saw out on the streets were NHS workers who had their passes on. And I was stopped. The police stopped me a couple of times. You know, slightly, it wasn't quite as officious as that sounds, but you know, I was taking a photograph in Piccadilly once, and the police sort of slightly jokingly said, what are you doing? You're not, this isn't tourist time. And I said, oh, I'm going to work. And then the other police officer, funnily enough, recognized me and said, oh, you're the newsreader who runs marathons. I'm a runner too. You know, it's that runner. but it was a really strange time. And I'd run along. And it was I felt very privileged to be able to do it, because nobody else was really out on the streets. And the streets were empty. I ran down Piccadilly in the middle of the road. I would, I'd go onto the South Bank and run along the river and go on the South Bank. And I remember running there and just coming down the steps onto the South Bank by the National Theatre. And there was no one there. And I literally stopped and just gasped out loud. I could not believe how quiet it was, or Covent Garden. And it was a real privilege to be able to take photographs. But I did feel bad about even doing a sort of extra mile or two round to go and have a look at another bit of London. I ended up going through all the stations, Waterloo, Paddington. And I will never, ever see London like that again. I've grown up in London. And it was like being on an empty film set with every single memory of the city that I have gone. And it was just, I could just see my memories and the people I've been with and my family and my friends. They were sort of piling up on top of this empty film set. It was a really surreal experience. And, you know, lockdown two, it definitely hasn't been the same at all. It's much, much busier.
That's really emotional, the way you've described that.
It was, yeah. It really was. It was a very, I mean, I look back at some of my photographs recently, and it was a very, very intense. I'd forgotten how intense a period it was. And I loved my runs to work. I loved my runs to work. I ran back at night as well. Empty. Imagine London at night and Oxford Street, straight down the middle of Oxford Street. There were no cars, nothing, no traffic whatsoever. I saw a couple of homeless people and I saw a lot of police. That was it. And it was, I didn't feel, people said, didn't you feel, you know, at risk, in danger? There was nobody out there. I didn't feel at risk at all. It was surreal. And I know it's something I will never, ever see again.
You said it was an intense time, and I think everyone felt that. And it's been an intense year as well. Do you think that running has always been for you a kind of a release valve?
I didn't realise until now, until this year, just how much of a release, how important it was just to my sanity, really. And it was that sense of panic I felt when I was reading the news out, and I was saying, you know, in Spain, which, as I was saying, was 2 weeks or 3 weeks ahead of us, in Spain, the lockdown has come into force and the government says you cannot leave your house, you cannot go out to exercise. And I was thinking, I remember reading it on the news, thinking, what? I can't exercise. I cannot run. You are joking. And people in Spain were literally being fined. I think there was 500 euros for going out. You couldn't go and run. And I suddenly realized the notion for me of not being able to go outdoors and run was just awful. It was terrible. And then also that funny, that strange feeling, I'm sure you probably got it as well, when you did go out, when we got locked down here, and suddenly you became slightly the pariah. We were banned from parks and we were banned from the river and all these places where I normally go, I could no longer go. And the only place I could actually run without any problem, because I had somewhere to go, was into the city, into town. So I suddenly had the city to myself and was no longer able to run in all the places that I usually did.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I think I guess that is the silver lining. Lockdown's seen so many people take up running. I think Couch to 5K has had like a million downloads. It's amazing. What advice would you give to someone who's recently taken up running or someone who's kind of thinking about doing it this second time around lockdown?
I think, I mean, I tell everybody I can to try it. I think I often get stopped by people who say, oh, you're running and I see all your running. And I think people, particularly when they get older, think it's too late for me. And I often get stopped by people say, oh, it's amazing what you do, but I just couldn't do it. I'm too old. And I go, how old are you? And they go, 48. And I go, I'm 52. You can. it's not a problem. And I think people write themselves off a long time before they need to. And I just think the thing about running as well for me, it does, when you start, I wrote a blog years ago when I first did my first marathon, and I had forgotten how stiff I felt all the time and how I'd run and I'd sort of ache the day after. And you kind of think you're damaging your body, but actually you're building your body up. And I got stronger and stronger and stronger. I've got faster and faster the older I get. And I just think it's this amazing sport that you can keep going. And it's not something that you necessarily get worse at as you get older. You can go, you know, particularly, you know, when you get older, you can do endurance sports. You can last much longer. You can run much further. Some of the best endurance runners are, you know, doing it in their 40s. And I just think, I think right now, when we're all kind of struggling with lockdown and being literally, I feel claustrophobic at times. It's a sport that makes you get outside. It's very simple to do. And just being outside lifts your spirits, let alone the endorphins you get from running. So I would really recommend people to try it, but you have to do it slowly and you have to build up slowly. And the couch to 5K, and there's a couch to 10K, isn't there, as well? Those kind of apps are fantastic. I've got a friend who's doing one right now who never thought he would run again. He's in his 60s and he's loving it.
Yeah, that is great. You talk about getting quicker as you get older. I know that you actually qualify to represent England in the Masters category over the half marathon distance. I think that's right, yeah. Isn't it? But that race was then, it was then cancelled, wasn't it, due to COVID? Are you hopeful of making your England debut soon?
Well, they cancelled it again for next year. So I've got the vest. I just didn't have to do the race. yeah, no, it was supposed to be at a half marathon. I think it was the 15th of March. And yeah, it got cancelled. And then they were going to run it again next March, and then it got cancelled again. So who knows? But I probably won't be able to do the time by then. I don't know. But no, I got my shirt, so I achieved that at least. I never got to run the race.
So you've kind of mentioned run commuting, which I think we can all like. Great way of fitting it in. But obviously you've got a really demanding job, you've got a family, you've got a puppy that we've seen in the Runner's World shoot. How do you fit it all in?
People always ask me how I fit it in, and I think if you want to do it, you just can. I think running is actually probably, of all the sports we do, running is probably one of the easiest things to fit into your life, because you can commute to work, you can, I don't know, if you take the kids to school, you can run home, or you can you run around your park first thing in the morning. You can go. You don't need to run for very long. You know, you're literally out for half an hour. It's not like, you know, I did a spot of cycling when I was injured a few years ago. I did the Ride 100, and the amount of cycling I had to do in comparison to running was huge. So, you know, my equivalent of a 2.5 hour long run seemed to be a sort of 5 or 6 hour bike ride. So the running is much easier, I think, to fit in.
Yeah, I agree. I was trying to work out what the kind of equivalent is in cycling, but I think it's almost kind of three times the distance, yeah. is the equivalent of what it'd be for running, something like
that. I feel like cycling, yeah, totally. Just takes longer, doesn't it? You have to pack. You have to.
Yeah,
it takes forever.
And then you have to stop for coffee. I never get that, but you stop for coffee in the middle. I'm like, what?
That's nice, actually. I think we could learn something from that. I think that's good.
I know. But I've stopped, like, occasionally on long runs, I've stopped for a quick, you know, espresso or something.
Yeah.
I always feel really guilty when I do it.
Have you managed to sneak in any official races this year? Because they are still going on, aren't they? You just have to sort of find them.
I've done one. Have I done one? No, I've done two. I've done two races. I did one trail race with my great friend Susie Chan, who is the one who got me into the ultra running. So we did Pilgrim's Half down in Farnham, near Farnham, and that was fantastic. And they did it so well. And I think this was a couple of months ago. And they did it. It's all socially distanced. You had your wave time, and then when you set off, we went in groups of six. And because it was a trail run, you know, literally Susie and I ended up running on our own. Didn't see anybody else at all. So that was lovely, and really lovely to do a proper race. And then the other one I did was the London Marathon, the virtual London Marathon. But I did a real race because there was the Eton Dorney Marathon being run on that day. And it was 16 laps, I think it is, of Eton Dorney Lake.
Wow.
You know, remember that weekend? It was so cold. Freezing rain, wind, the whole lot. But because it was a race, it made me run faster. And I got those. I thought, this is my one race of the year. So I got the ridiculously expensive, you know, Elliot, the Kipchoge shoes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The springs, the kangaroo flies, springs. Yeah. So I got a pair of those and I went for it. And I couldn't believe it. I went under 3:30, which I didn't think I was able to do because I hadn't done the proper training. I hadn't done my normal sort of, I'm quite methodical about my training normally. And I hadn't done the proper sort of speed training and all that stuff. So I was amazed. I was only like 2 minutes off my PB with the springs on my feet. And I got some very black toenails to go with it. But it was worth it. That was my race of the year.
Yeah, that's a fine effort, that, isn't it? Because I guess I would find that those sort of lap races that just struggle a little bit with the motivation of going round and round.
It was quite hard. It was hard in one sense, but it was... You saw people go. I quite like the switchbacks because you saw people, so that kept me entertained. And also, I did just think, this is it. This is my one chance this year. I'm not going to be able to race again. And I had so many races in the, you know, that I was supposed to be doing this year, that I just thought, go for it. I literally couldn't take another step there when I finished. I almost had to be carried off the course. My calves completely seized up. It was pitiful.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're a self-confessed medal addict. What would you, if you had to pick one, what would one mean the most to you?
Has to be the Marathon des Sables. That was, I've actually got two of those, bizarrely, because they did, the one that we were given out there, they changed it. So this is in 2018, they changed it. And it wasn't the kind of one, it wasn't the rather sort of almost slightly rusting one that everybody else had got in the years before. It was a much newer version and a much shinier version, and lots of people didn't like it. So they then produced ones which were more like the other ones. So I've now got two Marathon des Sables medals for the same race. But that one, definitely, it was my favourite one. I never thought, you know, 6 marathons, 5 days. It was Susie Chan who got me into doing that. She'd done it 3 times already, and we went together, and I didn't think I could do it. I wanted to pull out the week before. I trained for it really hard, but I just did not think I would be able to cope with it. And it was the most extraordinary time of my life. It was something, I'd love to do it again, but I'm almost nervous about going back because it was such an amazing 10 days. We had a great tent. We had 8 of us in there, amazing camaraderie. And we did it. And I literally cried when I crossed the finish line because I just, the sense of achievement, you know, it was, the blisters were quite painful, but it was the sense of achievement getting across the line. And I hadn't told anyone I was doing it. And I was sort of thinking, wow. And you really learn that you are just much, much stronger. Your body's much stronger than you ever thought you were. And it's often your head that tells you can't do things.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like we all need a Susie in our lives to get us to around those challenges.
Right, we're entering the philosophical part of the Run As Well podcast. So what is the greatest lesson that running has taught you?
That, probably, that your body is so much stronger than your mind lets you think it is. And that if you push yourself and stop the voices in your head saying you can't, actually, it turns out you can. And I think that applies to me in life all the time. And I think running has taught me to, I mean, even the way it may sound a bit silly, but the way I deal with being in this sort of lockdown, I think of it a bit like an ultra race, which is, it's an awfully long way to go. We've got a long few months ahead of us. So just don't look at the end. So if you're thinking about doing an ultra race of 50 miles, don't think about the fact it's 50 miles, just think about the next mile. And so I just, or going up a hill, steep hill, I never look at the top. I always look at my feet. So it's literally that, is don't look at the big picture because it looks far too scary. Look at the small picture and just look at the next few steps. So that's what running and ultras and marathon races have taught me. It's a sort of coping mechanism that you can apply to all kinds of parts of your life.
Yeah, definitely. I think some of the skills you learn through running or any endurance sport have real kind of application over lots of different areas, don't they?
Mm.
Yeah. Right, final question then, Sophie. What are your hopes and dreams for 2021 in an ideal world? Where would your running take you?
I'm slightly, where would my running data? It's so unknown, isn't it? 2021. I mean, who knows? I think we've got a few more months left before the races start. I mean, there are so many races that I was supposed to be doing, like this year, Comrades, and Susie Chan wants me to go off to Costa Rica with her and do some sort of MDS equivalent in Costa Rica. I have very few. I'm going to keep my hopes quite kind of limited. I'd just like to run another race. Yeah. I quite like to run a race with my friends.
Yeah,
if I could run a race with my friends, that would be great. That'd be good.
I think that's good. That's a good, simple, modest name, isn't it? Yeah. Well, thank you so much for making the time to come on the Runners World podcast to talk about your running. Really appreciate you speaking with us. And yeah, best of luck with all your running in 2021.
Thank you very much. And to you too.
This is the Runners World podcast.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. A big thanks to our guest, Sophie Raworth, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can subscribe to Runners World magazine today to get 3 issues for only £5. Visit hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer. The Runners World podcast is available on Acast, iTunes, and all your favourite podcast apps. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
What a professional, Jane. Nailed it.
Pro. Nailed it. Get me back on the radio.
4 That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.